know some of you thinking, how did Brother Lowe let that happen? You're about to find out. Even the world knows being together is necessary. And I know, I said it to the first group, I said, I know there's a lot of people that got high over that song. But they got high because they didn't know how to come together. Together is everything. It's the last message on the series called Change. It's the most important message on this series called Change. Because the idea that I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not together with the body of Christ, it isn't possible to be a follower of Christ unless you're fitly joined together with the body of Christ. Amen? All right. You're going to enjoy the next few moments because God really has really been talking to me about this. And we open up every service, amen, on this Change series with Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, where John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Jesus comes, amen, when he steps into his ministry and says identically the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that word repent was not a word that's a bad word that infers that you're a bad person. That word repent has nothing to do with you low down, slime bucket, that's messed up all your life, repent or perish. That's not what it's saying there. It's a word of life. What he's saying is you've been thinking a certain way and it hadn't got you where you need to go. Your thought process has not brought you to a place of joy and peace yet. The way you've been thinking has brought death and frustration, anxiety, division, loneliness, apart from being together. What I'm asking from you, Jesus is saying, is think differently about what you think about. In other words, instead of coming up with a conclusion on what you need to do today from here, feel after me, the Lord's saying. I'm not far from any one of you that feel after me. And so we practice at New Life Fellowship for the sake of getting good at what we're designed to do. And that's make room for God in our lives. You can't make room for God when you think from here. You're God when you think from here. But when you begin to feel after him and you let him begin to speak to you about things you can't even really understand, but you know it's right. And you know that the direction you're feeling prompted to go is right. And when you put it to the test, it always brings the fruit of joy and peace. And some of you today haven't yet put it to the test yet. And the Lord's given you an opportunity today. You've tried it your way for so long. Amen. Just give me a try. That's all he's saying when he says repent. You've thought this way and it hadn't brought any peace to you. Let's think this way and see what happens. Try me. See whether or not I'll do it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He's really into us. So what does this do when we feel after God? You know, I can say hallelujah, right? I can speak from here. Hallelujah. Or I can speak from here. Hallelujah. It's a different dynamic, isn't it? Amen. You know, people that know you, they know when you're speaking from here. And they really don't like you speaking from here. They rather you speak from here. Ah, it's like a big hug. It's like there's value in the conversation now. You know? And so us guys have learned that if we talk from here, our wives know it. Yeah. They know when we're speaking from here or from here. Of course, now we know when they're speaking from here or here too. Does the Lord know when we're speaking from here or here? And the way he knows we're speaking from here is he gets to be king of his kingdom within us, so that from us, he can bring us together. Amen. We don't have to get high, trying to wonder how to get there. Is this okay? But when I think from here, he can't be Lord. I am king of my miserable kingdom when I think from here. Amen. Isn't it interesting that we keep being tempted every day to think from here? Because the only thing that the enemy has as a weapon is thoughts. He don't have another weapon. And so he's very good at picking out thoughts to storm our minds with, so that we will think on those things instead of the things that God designed us to think on. And everything that he throws at us, amen, gives us reason not to be together, but rather to be by ourselves, because I'm the only one that gets it. And since I'm the only one to get it, being with others is not really necessary. And he's throwing that curveball at you and I every day. I want to read here something in Jeremiah 29:11 that's important for all of us. And it's a promise from God. He speaks through the prophet and he says this, "For I know the plans I have for you." God already has plans for me and you, declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you." It's a promise. "And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now notice when he gives us this hope and a future, that we will call on him, we will come and we will pray, and we will listen to him, or he will listen to us. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Come on, come on now. Let's catch that. When we feel after him, he will meet us there, not here, here. You can't think your way into the kingdom. You can't think your way into faith. It's important for everybody. You can't think about, you can't think hard about what Pastor Lowe's saying today and God move God. All you have to do is, it's simple and it's light. You have been designed by heaven. God put you together. He wired you to connect with him from here, from your heart. Ah. And as we feel after him, he suddenly comes to his temple. Know ye not that you're to the temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen. You're designed to host him, not the other one. "Well, I don't host the other one. Me and the devil." Well, when you think from here, you host the devil. That's why the fussing, the arguments, the depression, the anxiety, the frustration, come on, the guilt, the shame, the lust, the pride, all that's evidence that we think from here. And when I think from here, the evidence that who's the king of my little kingdom isn't me, it's the devil, becomes like, duh. But he'll convince us he's not the king, that we're the king. He's the puppeteer, and we're the puppet. And he uses stinking thinking as his platform. And still in all, we'll go to church on Sunday and leave church thinking that we're going to think about it and figure it out. And that some one of these days we're going to figure out salvation. We're going to figure out God being in control. No, you're not. The only way that God's ever going to be in control is when you resolve to quit thinking from your lens and trust him with what he's saying. He says, I have plans for you. My plan is it starts with hope. How does hope get into my spirit? Oh, I get hope when I get a knowing. How did I get a knowing? I heard him. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. When I get it right here, hope follows it. Is anybody tracking? When I listen to what the Spirit's saying, hope follows. What happens once hope gets there? Now I have a future. Because the moment I listen to what he's saying, he meets me where I hear. Where I have an ear to hear, that's where he meets me. Gives me hope. This has got to track with us. We got to catch this. And through experience, I know them that hear me. I know them that hear me. Experience, we get vision. We get clarity. By experience, now we see. We see our future. I know that I know that I know. It's easy to come together at that point because once I begin to see, I can see what God sees about you. And I can tell you what he's telling me about you. And it brings life to you because you've been hoping that was God telling you that all the time. But you didn't really know yet. You knew, but you didn't know. But when you got together, when you got connected with the body of Christ, validation, confirmation. Amen. All of a sudden, how did you know that? I didn't. I was just, man, the Lord was talking to me and he said this about you to me. And he validates your value to him and who you are, your true identity. Anybody like running from people because people hurt you? Did you know that the greatest opportunity to see who you really are is when someone hurts you? Y'all got to catch this because it's the most important message today in this series of change. If indeed you profess the Lord as your Savior, that means he's king of his kingdom within you. And as king of his kingdom within you, he sits on a seat, which is his throne, called the mercy seat. Your greatest opportunity to get a revelation of who you are in Christ is when someone hurts you. Now, he's the king, right? Not you. If you're the king, you're going to run. If you're the king, you're going to retaliate with, bless God, that slap hurt. I'm going to give you a slap you'll never forget. You see what I'm saying? Or if he's the king of his kingdom, you're going to extend mercy and grace, which is a revelation of who he says you are. You don't want to miss your opportunities, and yet the enemy's working overtime to get you away from people because people hurt. People offend. People don't make you feel good. But God didn't design people to make you feel good. God designed you to get your feel good and your joy from where? Him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you are getting your joy from God, it don't matter how hard you slap me, I can turn the other cheek. I think somebody's getting a revelation that I thought I had Jesus, but I need Jesus. I thought he was Lord in my life, but I need him to be Lord in my life. I don't need a form of godliness. I need God in my life. I need power to be an overcomer. And when there's power for me to be an overcomer, it's because Jesus is king of his kingdom within me, and out of my belly is flowing rivers of living water. This is not a suggestion. This is a promise for all flesh. Amen? And so if there's a need for change, the change in our life, and most important message, is that we come together now, right now, not tomorrow, now. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're going to have fun being who you're designed to be, amen, it's time to feel after him now. Amen. Philippians 4 and 8 says this, and it's important we catch this because to have hope and a future, he's the king of his kingdom within. Is anybody catching that? Anybody need clarity on your true identity? When you get him on the inside, hope and a future follows. And so we think differently about what we think about because we let him be part of the thought process. Here's where it is in Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What you have learned or received or heard from me are seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, this is important because everything we named here that Paul names, whatever's true, just, honest, pure, of a good report, that's how he thinks. That's thoughts that come from out of here. You just don't get purity because you're smart. You don't get justification because you're smart. You don't get holiness because you know what's right and wrong. Your measurement of good and evil is whacked out. Your measurement of good and evil will never equal holy. And if you think that you're smart enough to figure holiness out, you're full of pride and you're about to fall on your face. There ain't nobody ever going to figure God out. Nobody will ever figure God out. Every moment of the rest of your life in eternity, if you're with God, is going to be wow, holy, wow, holy, wow. For eternity, you're going to be wowed because your daddy is just that big. He's just that powerful. He's that incomprehensible. He's all-knowable. He's all-knowing. Amen. He's everything. And so the only way that you and I, amen, can have peace and joy is all of our thinking comes from here, out of our belly. And so when I get this thing that comes from here, oh, man, I know this. I don't know how I know this. He just gave you something to think about. I don't know how I understand what I'm hearing in my spirit. It don't matter. 1 + 1 don't equal 2 no more. It's different. And we're not talking about mathematics. We're talking about the way you think about what you think about. Once I catch a word from heaven that brings peace to my spirit, I now got something to think about, something to meditate over, something to study. And in the church world, we're doing too much texting. Our creative team this past week, we figured out what texting is in the spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, some of us are King James, New King James, NIV, Message. Come on, the list goes on. Everybody's got their text that they like reading from. They're texting. Ain't nobody got God figured out. The Lord makes it clear to the religious group. This is going to help somebody here today. He says to the religious group, he said, you think that you have life in the scriptures. Go read for yourself. Matthew 5:29. He said, but the scriptures are they which testify me. He said, you've studied them, and you've texted, and you've studied, and you've texted, and you've texted, and you're killing the one that's come to give you life. I love the book called the Bible. Greatest book that's ever been. But if you can't hear what it's saying, you're in trouble. If all you do is read it and memorize it and quote it, the devil believes in one God and trembles. And he knows the text better than any of you know the text. And if you don't get full of the Spirit and get led by the Spirit, you're going to text yourself all the way to hell. Pastor, why did you know? No, I'm just telling you, you can quote the Bible and not know the author of the Bible. And people will call you spiritual because you quote scriptures, and all you're doing is texting yourself to death. Pastor Lowe, be careful. Nope, the Spirit of God's telling me. It's not by might. It's not by power. Not by scripture. Not by texting. But by my spirit. But by my spirit, says the Lord. And when you let the king be king of his kingdom within, guess what you become? You become a written epistle read and known of all men. You become the Word of God manifest because you're hosting the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God, amen, that empowers us to be an overcomer and become that witness to the world we're in. What we have need of is a more sure word. You're not going to get a more sure word through your stinking thinking. You get a more sure word when you feel after him and let him come to his house and begin to talk to you, amen, in ways that you can't understand, but you know it. You got it. And out of your belly flows rivers of living water. I want to say this. It's important because coming together is so key. You can't arrive at your true identity unless you get this today, because what's important about, amen, the miracle in your life is sitting right next to you, behind you, in front of you. It's the people in this room that God has put in your lane that becomes so valid for you becoming who you're designed to be. Be careful when you do this with anybody in this room. Be careful when you measure them from your good, amen, and evil lens on how you perceive God in their life. Be careful, because when you're doing that, you brought judgment on yourself. And the Lord is not king of that kingdom. He's the king of a kingdom where all we see is what he sees in them. And he sees his blood upon them. He sees his identity in their life. He's not telling you anything wrong or, amen, or in judgment on anybody. The person you're sitting next to or in front of you or behind you, they're the apple of his. And they are valid and important for you to become who God says you are. And there's going to be opportunities when you connect with them, amen, for what you don't want to happen so that you can get a revelation of who you are. Amen. So to become who you're designed to be, it requires each other to get there. Amen. Christianity is not an independent study. It's a group project. Anybody enjoy group projects when you went to school? Anybody? Okay, there's only a few of us dummies. How many didn't enjoy group projects? That's all the smart ones that us dummies rode the wave with to a good grade. Hear me. Christianity, true Christ-likeness, true Christ-likeness, Antioch group, is a group project. We only get there together. Amen. God builds his church and kingdom as we experience hope and a future through grouping. Amen. Hebrews 10:23. If you haven't read this before, and for the sake of the millennials that probably hadn't read the Bible very much, verse 23, and I didn't mean that sarcastically. I know that because, hear me, it's important I say this, our world is not attracted to Christianity. So I get it, millennials, I get it. Because Christianity was attractive 2,000 years ago at Antioch. But Christianity today don't equal the Christians of Antioch. Our world is attracted to Jesus, though. And the millennials really want to know about Jesus. They don't want to know about our religious form that has no power. So I wasn't saying that sarcastically. Had to cast the devil out just then. Amen? The world wants to know Jesus. The millennials made it very clear. Their voice was heard. Don't tell me, show me. Now, I'm not justifying the millennials being hard-headed and beating their chest, but God has an answer for them. And I'm thankful for their zeal to call a spade a spade. Don't tell me that's Jesus when it isn't. And don't just tell me about him, show me. Amen. So, in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And we're not talking about going to church on Sunday. We're talking about being the church. And all the more as you see the day approaching, encourage one another to be together. And so we'll never arrive where God's taken us without each other. And one of the things that's important is it's God's plan that we be together. It's never God's plan to be alone. Now, the enemy's going to rain thoughts in your spirit that you need to be alone. That's his job. But I can tell you in my own life that being together is more important than being alone. And I'll give you just a quick example here. When I was 13 years old, amen, I went on a hunting trip with a friend. I grew up, if I could keep up with Dad, I could go hunting with him. And so we lived off the land. We planted our gardens, and God had a plan for that all for me. I learned all that stuff. And so at 13 years old, I was an experienced hunter, and I went with one of my best friends and his father on a hunting trip for a week at a camp that didn't have a shower. And it was cold outside, and we were sponge bathing because, man, we couldn't hardly stand to be in the same room together. But about halfway through that hunting trip, they had figured out, you know, he is pretty good at hunting, you know. He can do it by himself. And they put me out there by myself. And I was okay being by myself until it got a little dark because as a hunter, I hang out, man. I'm a boy. They're coming by. I'm going to get him. And I was up in there like a special forces. And I was thinking, man, I'll stay out here tonight. I'm going to get this thing, bring it in. We was deer hunting. But it got a little dark and the trees being tall, cloudy. I didn't know where the sun was, didn't know where the stars are. I couldn't see nothing. And I've gotten turned around, and it's getting dark. And now loneliness has been caving in. I mean, it's getting thick. There's a dynamic that came with it at 13 years old. I said, man, I don't like just being by myself. And I certainly don't like to be by myself and don't know where I'm at. Well, there's Christians like that. Professed Christians. Not with Christ. You're never like that. And so what happens? My grandma and my mother and my dad taught me, you get in trouble, talk to Daddy. He'll meet you there. And I got very serious about my prayer meeting. I mean, it was intercession right now. And he helped me. He gave me this prompting, and I walked right straight to the camp. Walked in there. I didn't have to tell nobody I was lost. The Lord found me, and the Lord brought me out. I'm just telling you, I don't wish loneliness like that on anybody. But then conversely, I can go on a fishing trip with some brothers, and we don't have to catch one fish. I mean, you went to go fishing, we thought, but when we got there and we was together, it really didn't matter because we left full of encouragement, edification. Amen. We was laughing. We was having a good time. Didn't take no fish home. And the wives and everybody wondered, what did y'all go for? We went fishing, but we did something else. We got together. Amen. There's something about being together that moves heaven on the scene. And what we didn't bring home fishing, we brought home in the spirit. Amen. Because we brought a load home in the spirit. And God's telling you right now that if you ever decide to come together, amen, to be his platform by which he touches lives, you're going to be surprised at the treasure of heaven that you're going to take with you when you get together. Amen? Amen. However, being together is not easy. Everybody agree? Most of the time when we start coming together, it's messy. Being together requires we be vulnerable. Being together is work at times, and it can be inconvenient. Anybody got an amen on that? But why is being together not always easy? Because it's with people that sometimes bring us the greatest pain and sorrow. And some of you may be thinking right now, well, Pastor, I'm around people all the time. That's not hard, but you're really not with them. You're still alone, even though you're around people. Because we build up walls and we set boundaries that we won't let people get through or around, because being together can be painful. It can be messy. Amen? But ultimately, every one of us must make the choice. God's not going to make the call for you. You have to choose to be together. Amen? I'm going to just be up front with you. With divorce rate as high as it is in the world, in the church, what does that tell you? There's couples that profess Jesus are looking for reasons to run from one another. When God's saying, hey, time out. That's your greatest opportunity. Don't run from one another. Set your face like flint. Be my vessel. Let me, and I'm not praising any abusive situations. There's some situations where there needs to be separation. But let me encourage you. The majority of people that are divorcing ain't over being abused. They'll tell you, no, I've been mentally abused. If you'll go to God with it, he'll blow your mind on how he can change the setting, amen, and you'll glorify him because he's powerful through you. Our greatest opportunity to find out who we truly are is in situations we don't like. And you're going to get into another relationship that's going to hit you hard too. And it's not about you. It's about God and others. If I make it about me, I'll push every relationship away. But when I make it about God and the relationship, in the process, I become who I'm supposed to be. This has got to help you today. Amen. And so when we're alone, the enemy, amen, can do his greatest work. Every time I'm by myself, God didn't plan that. The enemy planned that. And what the enemy does is he'll separate us through pain, and then he'll come as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, have you ever watched Discovery Channel? Has anybody ever paid attention to what the lion goes after? It's the one that's by themselves. They don't attack the herd. They look for the one that's by themselves. Let me tell you, the Lord never designed us to be apart from the body. We're all designed to be fitly joined and together. When we're not, and when we're justifying, and we got our Bible studies, because we're so smart, we got our Bible studies, it justifies us being alone. Elijah was a powerful prophet, wasn't he? But when he was alone, what did God say to him? What you doing here alone? Well, don't you know? Haven't you heard, God, that Jezebel wants to kill me? Oh, prophet just annihilated 850 plus by himself. Outruns a chariot, and he's scared of a woman. Pastor Lowe, be careful. It's amazing how the enemy can freak us out and divide us, amen, from being together, so that he can scheme to destroy us. He's the master trickster. He's wanting to devour you. And so, when we get together, this is what you can expect. And I want to close with this next few moments with three important aspects of you and I making sure we're together. And these relationships are important for us to step into our true, God-given, anointed, and powerful identity. I'm going to use a character that'll help you as I close this today, and his name's David. Everybody in this room, do you believe everybody in this room is a king and priest according to God's will? That everybody in this room, if God has his way, you're going to live up to being royalty? Because he chose you. He purchased you. He owns you. We may not act like it, but he bought us with his blood. And he adopted us in, whether we accept him as our father or not. He's adopted us into his kingdom as his kids. And he says we're royalty. Well, David is a lot like all of us here. He was pushed out. He was thought of as being less than nothing. If you really take a moment and read about David, his daddy, when a man of God came to him and said, look, I need to meet with all your sons, he brought seven and left David out in the field because he's a runt. He's not that important. And David was very charismatic. David was a people person. And dad puts him out in the field probably because he's causing trouble at home because he's such a people person. And David has a relationship with God in the field. God knows he didn't put him out there, but I'm going to trust you with this, David. And so Saul, the king of Israel at that point, rejects God. And when he rejects God, God rejects him and decides, I want another king anointed. I love this. This is so good. And you're like David. Every one of you is like David. He's wanting to anoint you as a king. That's why the promise of the Holy Spirit and fire, that's what the Holy Spirit fire is God anointing you as a king. So you can have power to be a witness of your kingship and his lordship, his father in your spirit. Him being father. This is so important for everybody. So David is out on the backside, and God tells a prophet named Samuel, go anoint my king. I've got one that has a heart after me. I want you to anoint him. And so Samuel, when he goes, he's listening. He's right here. He's feeling after God. And he sees seven of Jesse's boys, like God told him to go check out his boys. And all seven of them, he walked by each one of them. No, that's not the one. That's not the one. No, that's not the one. And he's not doing it from here. He's doing it from here. And he's, that ain't the one. That ain't the one. That ain't the one. Jesse, you got any more boys? Yeah, I got one out in the field. I'm sure he wouldn't be the one. Anybody ever felt like that before? And God had a relationship for him that when he come out of the field and he walked up and God said through Samuel, he's the one. And this is where we got to catch this. You can count on it. This is how powerful you are when you're in your zone. This is what we do. This is the culture of New Life Fellowship and being together is we call out the best in others, number one. Samuel called the best out in David. He's a shepherd. His parents thought he was less than everybody else. But God said, that's the next king of Israel. He's a man after my own heart. And it's going to be a relationship that you're connected to, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to call the best out in you. And the enemy don't want you to get close to the relationships God has put in front of you. Because if you get too close, you're going to find out who you are. If you start attending small groups, it's not a church project. That's how we get together. When you start, Sunday is just come taste and see. What you do from this point forward through the week, you make a decision. And you're going to have to change because our culture is not making room for you. It's eating up the kingdom of God culture. You're going to have to decide, I'm going to be together. Because when you make the decision to get together, who did you just choose? You just chose God. You just made a decision. Jesus is my source when you choose to be together. And in being together, you're going to find out that the ones you're with are going to begin to call the best out in you. And they're not perfect. They don't do everything just right. But because you're together, I'm in the midst. This is so important for everybody to catch this. Where two or three gather together, I am in their midst. You know what that's inferring? That when I'm by myself, he's not in me. He's not in my midst. Now, you can make your bed in hell, and he said, I'll be there. He's there, but he's not there. Come on, catch it. Catch it. If you're alone, he knows you're alone. He's there, but he's really not there because you hadn't let him be there. You being alone has rejected him. He didn't reject you. You rejected him. Every time you're alone, you just rejected him. Pastor Lowe, you're getting really strong with this message right now. Because in our world, we're alone a lot, aren't we? But we can be like David. If we're pushed out into the field, we can have a move of God. You might have to drive down the road to get a job done because you work for a company that has you on the road. But you and Jesus can meet on the road, so much so that you had to pull over for a moment and let him get what he's getting in you and wipe your eyes and go, okay, oh, thank you, Lord, and get back on the road and keep driving. But when it's not your choice to be alone, he'll meet you there. But when it's your choice to be alone, you've rejected him. It's when we group that people call the best out in us. But King David, the prophet, called the best out in him. He's still not king yet. The king that's still on the throne that God has rejected is now hunting David, wanting to kill him because he's found out he's anointed. He's found out that all of Israel's turned their heart to him and they're singing songs. Amen. Saul killed thousands, but David, 10,000s. And God is using this to get David ready. See, it's not fair, is it? And it looks like David's choosing to be alone, but he's not choosing to be alone. He's being forced by the enemy to be alone. But guess what? All the beat up people, abused, broke, busted, disgusted group, they find David in the caves and they get together. I love this because of those families that come together with David hiding in caves, they become mighty men of valor. Somebody's tracking finally. We getting this. You want to be together. David didn't pet them on their frustrations. He didn't pet them over their heartache and pain because they were being beat up by others on the outside. He pulled them in, amen, and spoke life into them and called the best out in them. But David had another relationship while he was running from Saul that met him and helped him call out to God. Jonathan strengthened David in the Lord while he was running from the one that wanted to kill him. Some of you here today, if you'll just come together, what looks like you're getting run over by a steamroller really isn't that bad after all, because God is making you in the process. This is what's awesome. David becomes king now. Oh, man, all of Israel around him. But look what it took for him to get there. It took a lot of people around him to get him there. He wasn't going to arrive at his true identity with all of those people. But this is what I like about this. This is why I want to end on this point. As king, David makes some bad decisions, makes some bad calls. He decided that when a time that kings go out to battle, he stayed at home. And while he was on the rooftop alone, is anybody catching this? When he was alone, he was looking at pornography. He was observing, and his mind was running away with him. And the next thing you know, he's committing adultery. But it don't stop there. He kills the one that's married to her husband. This is a king. a man after God's heart. And isn't this interesting? God don't dethrone him over bad decisions. What God does, because David didn't push people away. Yeah, he got alone. And when he got alone, he got in trouble. But he didn't push people. He went back and he gathered the people around him. And one of his relationships walks up to him and tells him a story about a sheep. That a person that had plenty of sheep went and took this one sheep that this man had, and he only had one sheep. And he took the sheep away from this man and went and took this sheep and offered that sheep up for his company. And while the relationship, the people he had around him, this is what we do when we group. We call out the truth on one another. When we get to a place where we're truly grouping, we become accountable, responsible to that accountability. This relationship says to David, when David's righteous indignation gets up, he gets it worked up with that story. This is how relationships are. They're wise with each other. They serve one another in wisdom. They get their wisdom from above. And the spirits that are tormenting those we love in the grouping, because we get our wisdom from above, that's true spiritual warfare. We're able to cast the enemy out. And when his holy, righteous indignation gets revved up, he says, we're going to take care of this matter. We're going to take care of this matter right now. And his friend, his relationship, the one that was he grouped with, says, you're the man. You're the man. You can't group unless you're vulnerable. You can't group unless you're accountable. You can't group unless you're willing to be transparent. You hadn't grouped yet until you're able to let the walls down. That's when he's king of his kingdom. And because David took what his friend, the one he grouped with, called him on, he called the truth out on him, he was able to fall before God. And we read today a prayer that David prays because he grouped. Lord, create a clean heart within me. Renew a right spirit in me. Somebody's catching this now. And he was able to maintain his true identity as a royal king, because he grouped. The enemy's been telling you, because you're not grouping, that you'll never live up to what God's expectations are. He's been telling you, you might as well just accept it. You've wasted too much time. You're never going to be who God wanted you to be. You've dropped the ball. But if you ever get to grouping, you're going to find out, oh, God trusted you with that. Your best days are before you. You're going to pull a lot of people out of trouble now, because you've been where you've been. If you ever start grouping, they're going to start calling the best out in you. If you ever start grouping, they're going to call on God for you. If you ever start grouping, they're going to call the truth out on you. And guess what? God gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. Because he went to the cross so that you could go through the pain and the challenge and the failure and the sin and the rebellion and the lust and the pride. He went to the cross so you could go through that and arrive at who he says you are. But to get there, you're going to need the body. It's time to change our way of thinking. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going, is the biggest lie the enemy ever told. You and me in Christ can do all things. Could we stand?